Yo, what's good, everybody? What's good? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast. Welcome back. Shouts out to everyone listening. Wow. Okay, so we got to, I always say this, but like, I got a lot to get to today. I'm just going to run it down to you guys. We're going to discuss Cowboys, Lions, the end of that game. Obviously is causing a lot of internet chatter, a lot of media members talking about it. I mean, everybody, fans from both sides talking about it. Some late game officiating issues. I will talk about that aspect of the game. Nevertheless, Cowboys Lions was a really good game. So going to give you guys my reaction and my breakdown to that, how I feel about both teams. We got to talk about Russell Wilson. His time in Denver looks all but finished. Looks like it's over. I will get to that. I will talk about Russell Wilson and the Broncos, Sean Payton situation. Got to talk about that. And then, obviously, the college football playoff. We get the college football playoff. Bowl season, to me, has been really lackluster. So I'm excited that we get these playoff games. That's what's really going to save it. So I give you my thoughts on college football and bowl season and obviously the playoff. And I'm going to give you guys my predictions and who I think will advance to the national championship game. So it's a lot. I'm going to get through it. I don't know. We're going to see how long this take, but I don't want to be too long. This will be the last episode of 2023. So I'm going to make this a good one. I'm going to try my best to make this a good one. Give you guys an audio adventure. Give you guys some fresh takes, what I think about, you know, certain things and so forth. So this will be pretty good. We got some really good topics that I can really dive and dibble into. So let's get it started. But first and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah K of the Isaiah K Podcast, the IKP. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. Greatly appreciate everyone that is continuing to share the pod, give feedback on the pod, sharing a pod with a friend, a foe, a friend that knows someone that knows someone. Greatly, greatly appreciate everyone that is listening to this pod, whether you listen to it going into the new year, maybe you're listening to it in the morning on your way to work, maybe you're listening to it as you're drinking your coffee. Shouts out to everyone that is under the sound of my voice. I greatly appreciate everyone. I truly mean that too. You guys give a little extra motivation when people share the pod, like the pod. Greatly, greatly appreciate it and get it. We had a pretty good 2023. We're looking for a better 2024. So let's start Lions Cowboys, right? This was a pretty insane game. This game was pretty insane. I can't wait to see the ratings, what the ratings were for this game. I would imagine Saturday night, ESPN, ABC, I would imagine a lot of people was watching. You know, it's holiday season. Not a lot of particular things going on. People are probably more than people. People are at home. If you into the NFL, I'm sure a lot of people watch this game. So I can't wait to see the ratings. The Cowboys almost nearly coughed up this game. They almost nearly coughed up this game with clock management and like just simple clock management errors, right? Like I said, I'm gonna get to the officiating because I know that's the glaring topic. That is the topic that is trending most. But for me, I want to talk about the Cowboys in this last stretch where, okay, Donovan Wilson gets the amazing diving interception. The Cowboys get the ball back with about 2 minutes and some change. And they're up 4, 17-13. Now, for me, this is just my personal football taste. I sometimes give you guys a little bit of insight of what I personally like as I'm watching the game. But then not also as I'm watching the game, but just, you know, how I see football. I try to give you guys that lens and how I see the game. And for me, I usually like aggressiveness from coaches. I like that. I like when coaches are risky and aggressiveness. I love it. I'm all for it. And especially in today's game, you know, teams and coaches, especially offensive guys, are more prone to go for it on fourth down, to go for two, or, you know, just risk takers. I'm not mad at it. I think being aggressive, pushing the envelope, I'm all for it. But then there is a line between doing what's smart and then being reckless, right? And I think so many people are like, I hear these arguments sometimes. It's like process versus results. And I think this whole process thing became kind of popular with Nick Saban. With Nick Saban, we used to just talk about the process, the process, the process, the process. And damn it, granted, I like when Nick Saban's talk about the process, but I feel like other coaches are kind of like taking that. It's like, it's about the process. It's about the process. And it's like, well, damn it, you're not Nick Saban. Nick Saban preaches the process, and then he gets damn results. He gets damn good results, right? So I think there is a line in terms of strategy, in terms of play calling, and, you know, when to go for it in certain instances. There's a line between being aggressive and smart and then being reckless. For instance, Brandon Staley was more reckless than aggressive and smart. He was more reckless than aggressive and smart. And when you continue to, you know, go for it on fourth down and, you know, go for it, like, when you continue to be a quote-unquote aggressive, granted, the process may be, okay, it's okay, your process is right. In football, and when it's time for winning and losing, the process sometimes is just not enough. And I don't care how the hell you got to the process. I don't care. I don't care how well thought out the process was. It's about results. And when you continue to be more reckless than aggressive, It makes all the difference in the world when you're not converting these fourth downs, when your aggressiveness turns into recklessness. I don't care about the process because it's reckless. It's reckless. It's no longer smart. The rationale and the process is no longer smart. And when it's no longer smart, I'm off. I'm off of it. And that was like, just for instance, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, like, but that was Brandon Staley. And that's the difference of him, you know, winning and losing playoff games. That's the difference between him making and not making the playoffs. And it's just it makes all of the difference in the world. And this wasn't a game that the Lions just had to win. Like, I'm sure they would have loved to win this game. But the Lions, even with a loss in this game, they can't finish no lower than the 3 seed, right? Like, they already won a division for the first time in, what, 30 years? In 30 years. The first time they've won a division in 30 years. So, like, huge, huge thing for them. So, but they don't, this wasn't a must win. For the Cowboys, this was a must win. For the Cowboys, they had to win, and they like, you know, obviously to keep their hopes, it's a slim chance of them getting the 1 seed. Don't think they get the 1 seed. I think more importantly, this win was important because it still keeps them alive for possibly the 2 seed and the NFC East title, which guarantees that they get a home game. They're 8-0 at home. They're really good at home, right? But that second down play where Dak throws it out of bounds and it looks like there's some miscommunication from Brandon Cooks and him and himself, I don't know what they're thinking. And with him throwing out of bounds on that second down, it led to giving the Lions more time on their next possession. If they run the ball on second down, and I'm not even necessarily saying you got to run it, but you should at least get you like that. That was a low percentage throw. That throw to Brandon Cooks that Dak made. And I guess some of this we can put on Mike McCarthy. I guess with a veteran quarterback, it's like you can't just throw it out of bounds. But Mike McCarthy, I think it's easy to just his clock management issues and his situational thinking in these type of games has been questioned over the past 3 years. And it will continue to be a question as the Cowboys get into the playoffs and into the midst of things. But you like that play, that second down play gave the Lions, I think, if I'm not wrong, if my math serves me correctly, it gave the Lions about 40 to 45 more seconds, right? So the difference in that play is like if the Cowboys either run the ball or they have more, or if they call a more, I would say, a higher percentage throw, the Lions don't even have a chance to march down the field and score a touchdown like they did. They don't even have a chance. So to me, I think that's just inexcusable for Mike McCarthy. I think that's just inexcusable. And you got to ask yourself, this is now back-to-back weeks where Dak has led the Cowboys ultimately game-winning drives. Like Miami, he had a really, really career-defining drive. Offensive line didn't perform great. Kind of just a stink fest offensively. Dak drives Dallas down the field, scores a touchdown, gives it to Brandon Cooks, back of the end zone, nice throw. Similar-looking drive where before the Donovan Wilson interception, Dak leads the Cowboys down, was really on point, and you know, gave the Cowboys the 17-13 lead. So that's two back-to-back weeks where Dak has made some big throws. He's came through in some big moments. And you gotta ask yourself, do you trust Dallas's defense like you did earlier in the year? You gotta ask yourself, because the Miami situation. Miami marches down the field. They get the game-winning field goal. And then now their defense is put in a similar predicament. Now, granted, one could argue, well, Donovan Wilson did catch the interception, which should have sealed the game.
Fair.
But I think on that last drive, the Lions' last drive, Dallas' defense was playing too soft. They were playing too soft. But ultimately, I think a lot of this could have been erased and wouldn't have never happened if Mike McCarthy clock management was better in these situations. And I don't know about you guys, but I like just Dan Campbell, Mike McCarthy. I can feel the difference between Dan Campbell and Mike McCarthy in terms of their approach in these close game situations, in these late game situations. I can feel the difference. Dan Campbell, he has shown and proven in his 2 years as the Lions coach, he is a risk taker, he's aggressive, and if he has a chance to win a football game, he's going to put the nail in the coffin. That's who he is. And last night's game versus the Cowboys, he stayed true to who he is. Now, granted, I think when they were at the 7-yard line in the red zone, I thought they should have kicked it. You know, that's just my opinion. I thought they should have kicked it. But at least with Dan Campbell, I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting. I'm getting aggressiveness, and you better believe it. If the Lions, and I was saying to myself, as the Lions were marching and driving down the field like quick work, I was like, Dan, if the Lions score a touchdown, Dan Campbell's going to go for two and win the game. He's going to go for two, and Ben Johnson is going to have a creative play call that they're going to go for two, and they're going to try to win the game. I already knew it. I was like, if the Lions score a touchdown, I can bet everything in my savings. I can bet my school tuition that he is going to go for two and try to win this game. And I'd be damned. The Lions have scored. Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it was quick. As soon as the camera panned, Dan Campbell was like, yeah, no, stay out there. We're going for two. We're going for two. And to me, Mike McCarthy, his approach in these late game situations, I really don't know what it is. I would label it as just recklessness in these situations. I would like Dan Campbell, he's true to who he is, and he's aggressive. He's going to put the nail in the coffin. Mike McCarthy is reckless. He's reckless in these situations. So I just don't think Mark McCarthy has a – I just don't think he has a good feel for these late game situations. I don't know, like, from clock management, from you know, when to throw it, when to be aggressive. And I'm like, okay, you can throw it, because a lot of people are like, they should run the ball. I get it. Pollard has been questionable. Okay, cool. But if you want to throw it, if you want to trust Dak, which, I mean, this year he's giving you no reason not to trust him. So you want to trust Dak? Okay, trust Dak. But I thought they should have created or called a higher percentage throw, because that throw was a low percentage throw. Even if Brandon Cooks was going to like attempt it, like that's a sideline deep ball. Like that's a low percentage throw, and that can make the throw, but it's a low percentage throw. You could have called a simple slant route, just a simple dump off, right? If that was the case, if you wanted to throw the ball. But I don't trust Mike McCarthy. 3 years, and the Cowboys are good. That's the dilemma. The Cowboys are good. They've, like, since Mike McCarthy has taken over, they got three straight 12-5 seasons, right? Like, the Cowboys are going to probably, they're going to win 12 games in three straight years. 36 games in 3 years. They've won 30, they're going to win 36 games in 3 years. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of winning. And with Mike McCarthy, he just leaves you head scratching sometimes. He makes head scratching decisions. And with Dan Campbell, at least he's aggressive. And I thought his aggressiveness didn't always lead him to the right result, right? But the process of his aggressiveness, I get it and I understand it. And he's consistent with it. With Mike McCarthy, I don't know what his approach is. I think his approach, I would just label it at this point, recklessness. Because I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know what the hell it is, and I don't know what to call it. Let me get to the late game officiating on both sides, really. So let's get to the officiating. And it was a big night. Like I said, at the top of the segment, at the top of the episode, I would imagine a lot of people watched tonight's game. There was a lot of eyes on tonight's game. It was a big night for the Cowboys. They put Jimmy Johnson into the Ring of Honor, long overdue, I would say, right? But they put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. You know, I would imagine all of the former Cowboys, great Cowboy legends, are there in attendance. Saturday night, two really good teams, two really good playoff teams facing off. Standalone game, ABC. Like, I would imagine Cowboy game was sold out at AT&T. And there was probably, maybe 30 million people watching. Like, probably 30 to 40 million people watching, right? So, a lot of eyeballs on the game. Brad Allen, and he's called, and honestly, his crew, Brad Allen, his crew officiating has been really questionable all year long. Brad Allen and his crew, they officiated the Packers-Chiefs game that had like a controversial ending and had some really controversial calls. Obviously, they officiated the Cowboys and Lions game last night. They made the referees, and I'm usually not the guy that goes at officiating and claims that officiating cost the game and the officials are just horrible, because I would imagine it is a difficult job in the heat of the moment with teams. And like when one of the penalties were called, Dan Campbell was absolutely livid. He was absolutely livid, and he was chewing out the official. And I'm like, imagine, I'm texting one of my buddies, and I'm like, imagine Dan Campbell in your face yelling at you. Imagine that. Imagine that being your job, right? Dan Campbell just yelling at you. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I get the difficulty in how hard it is to officiate. And let me not even say I get it, but I can understand and I can see why it's not everybody just sit back on their couch or, you know, doing whatever they're doing. Everybody think they can officiate and be a referee and it's so easy. It is not. It is not. So I get that. It's a hard job. But there were two calls in that game that really kind of, like, that really decided the game. It was two calls that really decided the game, and you just can't have that. Like, Brad Allen and his crew, this crew that officiated Cowboys Lions, they should not be able to officiate a playoff game. And you know, with the whole, and now with the officiating mistakes and these hiccups and these blunders from officials, with the whole sports betting and sports gambling, it's just all a big mix-up, and it's not good. It is not good for business, because as sports gambling and sports betting is taking off, as it's taking off, and people are putting money and like the stories from this football season alone. The stories and the amount of people that bet on these football games, it is a moneymaker. So not just officiating causing a mix-up in the game and honestly ruining the result and the outcome in the game, but then sports gambling, that's a whole nother element to officiating and the mistakes that are costly. That's a whole nother element. Millions, billions of dollars is going into sports betting. So it is imperative the officiating and that the referees get these calls right. It is imperative, because not only is it messing up the product, but then it is messing up a subsidiary of the product, which is sports gambling, sports betting. And the two calls that I just did not agree with, and video kind of, you know, we can go back and forth. First, a lot of people are talking about the illegal touching call that was called on the Lions on the 2-point conversion. A lot of people are talking about that with the lineman, left tackle Tyler Decker, I think his name is. But the Cowboys got called on a substantial clipping call that pushed them back. And video shows it. No Cowboy offensive lineman clipped any Lions player. It was actually Aiden Hutchinson that put out his foot and tried to trip Tony Pollard as he was running by. So, like, when that call was made, even in real time, like, that's not tripping or clipping on the Cowboys. No offensive lineman even attempted to do that. I don't know how you call tripping or clipping, whatever you want to call it, on the Cowboys when that wasn't like that was clearly Aiden Hutchinson. Clearly. So who like the tripping call, significant 15-yard penalty. They tried to call it on 89 of Dallas. I don't see it. And I'm watching the video right now. I do not see the clipping, the tripping call that the officials raised. What I do see is Aiden Hutchinson kicking his foot out, attempting to try to clip Tony Pollard, right? And this call effectively, it would have been, if this call wasn't made, right? It could have just been a second and short for Dallas, which effectively would have ended the game. But with this with the 15-yard penalty, it changed the whole game up for Dallas, and then that's what led to the incompletion to Brandon Cooks down the field. So the very thing that I criticized Mike McCarthy on, in terms of his clock management and game management, it would have never happened if the referees just did their job correctly. That's a difference of 30 yards. Brad Allen and his crew was an absolute shit show and a disaster. They were ass. They were four packs of ass tonight. That was horrible officiating. And then on to the play that I think is getting a lot of people attention is the two-point conversion. The two-point conversion, right? And here's the thing. Because we can go either or with it, right? Dan Campbell, I watched his post-game presser. He said he explained what the Lions were doing to a T before the game, right? Because and everybody is noticing, if you guys don't know, like when these plays are called and when other offensive linemen come into the game, they got to announce themselves and say and call themselves out. They go up to the officials. They probably raise their hand and say, "Hey, I'm eligible." And then the official, you know, they like, hey, they reverberate, you know, they repeat the message and say, hey, number 68 or number 71 or number 70 is eligible, right? And that lets the defense know, okay, one of these, like the lineman is eligible. Now, with the Lions, they got really creative. Dan Campbell, they got really creative. Brad, like, they got really creative. And they basically have two offensive linemen. Here's what I think. I think the Lions brought two offensive linemen to the officials to try to, I would say, masquerade and disguise what they were doing. And basically having, hey, both two offensive linemen say, hey, I'm eligible, right? And number 70 in his post-game presser, he says he never told the officials, he didn't say he was eligible. He never told Brad Allen he was eligible. Okay. In the video, it appears that Taylor Decker makes the effort and says and tells Brad Allen, hey, I'm eligible. Now, that message wasn't reverberated to the Cowboys like it should have been, because 68, Tyler Decker was wide open. And I think if I'm a betting man, I think the reason why he was wide open is because the officials never announced that he was an actual eligible. So that is that, like, it is mind-boggling to me. I think the NFL really need to dive into this and try to have some type of explanation as to why as to why they, like, what happened? What happened? Like, what in the hell happened with the officiating? Because honestly, it looks as if Taylor Decker says, hey, I'm eligible. Now, the referee job is to announce that he's ineligible so the defense can properly adjust. That clearly wasn't done because the Lions were called on an illegal touching penalty, which seems kind of bogus. It looks bogus, and it just looks like absolutely just a collapse. Just a colossal collapse for the officiating and Brad Allen's crew. And I'm looking at other videos. That's why I'm stuttering a little bit or whatever. But absolute collapse. Just an absolute collapse. I mean, I'm just, man. And I feel for Lions fans because it would have been a big win down in Dallas. Like I said, the Lions didn't necessarily need this game. But if they would have won this game, it would have kept hope alive of them getting the one seed. Very slim chances of them getting the one seed, but it would have kept hope alive. But just that is like absolutely a huge collapse. Two huge game altering mistakes for both sides, Dallas and Detroit. So it wasn't just Detroit got robbed. No, Dallas. No. Dallas. They got called, like, they got called on a BS penalty that would have effectively ended the game. And the same goes for the Lions. Just overall bad officiating. Have you chop it up? So that's just my last thoughts about it. I mean, it was an absolute bad officiating. They were the center of the problem, and I think we all understand that. Like, Detroit, they did what they're supposed to do. They tried to execute their creative 2-point play, and from a Dallas perspective, it's like if you watch that play over, Dallas doesn't know that Taylor Decker is he's ineligible. So it's just, I think at the end of it, officiating was the problem, and they were the center of the problem, and you just can't have that, especially as the playoffs are approaching. I've already mentioned the sports gambling aspect, but then, like, just for the pride of the game, right? You don't want to mess up the integrity of the game. And with stuff like that happening, it just messes up the integrity of the game. So I'm pretty sure this crew, Brad Allen's crew, won't be able to officiate a playoff game, a postseason game. I'm sure they won't. I haven't seen any report that says they won't, but I'm sure the NFL will have, you know, they have something come out soon, I assume, and something to say, hey, these guys are not going to be able to officiate. They're going to be penalized in some type of form or fashion, because that kind of product and those kind of calls or miscalls, lack thereof, just can't happen, right? Just can't happen. So let's move on. To Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, he's been benched by the Denver Broncos. And I'll say this, there's never a dull moment in the NFL, whether it's on or off the field. Never a dull moment, especially with these quarterbacks, with like quarterback movement / player movement. You know, Russell Wilson is one of those guys. Wanted out of Seattle. It was rumblings for his last two years in Seattle. There was rumblings that he wanted out. Eventually, obviously, he gets out. And the Broncos traded for him, gave him a big-time extension. Now, for me, you guys know, my day one listeners, I would say, or if you've been listening to me for some time, you would know that I'm a huge Russell Wilson guy. And I'm going to explain it a little bit. I'm a huge Russell Wilson guy. I think there's something for to me, just as a sports lover, and also just like me doing this as like, you know, this is a part of my career. I have a small place in my heart for like star athletes and star players that I've kind of watched as I've grown up. You know, I think it's cool to see what Patrick Mahomes and Luka Doncic, like those guys are absolutely phenomenal. But I didn't grow up with those guys. You know what I'm saying? With Russell Wilson, he's one of those guys for me where I grew up watching him. I remember watching him at NC State. I remember watching him at Wisconsin. I think with Monty Ball, they went to the Rose Bowl versus Oregon. They beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I remember those moments. He gets drafted by the Seahawks, and he wasn't even supposed to be like this franchise quarterback, right? The Seahawks had like invested a lot of money into Matt Flynn. Back then, they had invested a lot of money into Matt Flynn, and Matt Flynn was supposed to be like their bridge starter. He was supposed to be their starter for the foreseeable future. And Russell Wilson essentially had beat him out. And from that point on, I've kind of gravitated to Russ. And I've watched how he's elevated and how he's evolved as an NFL quarterback, going from like a kind of like a game manager to like a franchise guy. So with that, it makes him one of my favorite players. And at the peak of his prime, at the peak of his powers, Russell Wilson was a phenomenal product, a spectacular product, different, very different, but spectacular. Very much, I think he'll go down as one of the best freelancers, ad libbers at the position. I really do. I think he'll go down as one of those guys that was just really good off script, really good ad libbing, making something out of nothing. That's him. Now, the problem with that has become he's hung his hat on that very skill set and what he does best. And with that, some of his physical skills have started to diminish, and he's just no longer as elusive and just spry as he once was, you know? Older quarterbacks don't usually want to get hit, right? And the guy that the Broncos traded for has just been an absolute disaster. I mean, there's just no way to put it. He's been an absolute disaster. And I will say this, you know, he's a prime Russell Wilson. You look at his numbers. He's the prime example why you can't box score watch. You know, you can't just go to stats, because you look at his numbers, they don't look bad. You know, they don't look bad. You look at his numbers, you're like, wow, the Broncos are benching him. Playoff spot on the line, they're benching him. But if you watch him play, i.e. like on Christmas Eve versus the Patriots, you'd be like, wow, this guy looks like the 20th best quarterback in the league. And that's just not good. That's just not going to cut it. Like, that's just not going to cut it. And it's not going to cut it, especially with the amount of money that the Broncos are paying him. When they traded for him, they gave him a big-time extension. It was kind of like it kind of went hand in hand with the Broncos trading for him. He was in search of an extension. And so they knew once they traded for him, they was going to have to give him a large extension. But his production is nowhere close to his contract value. Nowhere close. There's actually a wide gap between Russell Wilson's production and what his contract is actually worth. Well, and as you guys know, in the NFL, a lot of these deals are based on guaranteed dollars, right? That's what really impacts and implicate the cap. So when you're paying these quarterbacks, you know, all these quarterbacks, you know, Justin Herbert, $200+ million, Joe Burrow, $200+ million, and Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Jalen, like all of these guys, Josh Allen, all of these guys, when these guys are getting paid, their cap hit or their guaranteed dollars is just out of this world, especially when you compare it to other positions. It's just out of this world. So you have to at least be equal or close to that value in order to justify a team paying you that amount of money in guaranteed dollars. And Russell Wilson's just not close to that. He's, like I said, his production is nowhere near close to his contract value. And then, if you guys been listening to me this football season, early on in the season, I told you guys, I was like, I mean, even before the season started, I was like, I don't think Sean Payton and Drew Brees, I don't think Sean Payton and Russell Wilson are a good match. I knew that from the jump. Like, don't you know, don't you see, like, when you see relationships in, like, Hollywood, when you see two celebrities get together, and you know how one celebrity acts, and you know how the other celebrity acts, and it's like, these two are dating? That won't last. Like, you just already know that relationship won't last, right? Like, that relationship won't last. Because this one acts this way, the other person acts this way. It's no way that this relationship is working. Well, or that is literally what Sean Payton and Russell Wilson was. They're the two celebrities. They're the celebrity couple that you look at and you're like, huh? They're dating? That was Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. And they were personality-wise, they were never going to mesh from a personality standpoint. And then if you think about it, football-wise, they were never going to mesh. The way Russell Wilson has had success, which, like I said, he really can't anymore, was based off of ad-libbing, you know, making plays out of nothing, and, you know, just creating, doing something out of broken plays, right? Just out of rhythm. Well, Sean Payton's success came with Drew Brees, who's one of the great pocket quarterbacks in league history, and his strengths were playing on time and accuracy and rhythm. That's something that Russell Wilson just isn't. So schematically, I knew they were never going to work. And then you just factor in the financial situation. And it's just so many things, I think, that was just working against Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, and this whole situation. From Russell Wilson and his diminishing skill set to the financial situation where they gave him this big money, he's no longer worth it, right? Like, if I'm paying a quarterback $45 to $50 million and he's a $15 million quarterback, we have a problem, right? It's just like if you're paying a player $10 million or $12 million and he's worth more, or he's playing like more like $3 to $4 million, you have a problem. It was never going to work. It was never going to work. And I get the whole business optics of the move. You know, Russell Wilson, he's not going to be a Bronco next year. Like, they're gonna probably release him. And I'm not going to get into the whole dead cap money situation. I'm not going to do all that today. But they're going to release him. But I also think my problem is not with that. The one problem that I do have in how this whole situation was handled and conducted has been Sean Payton and his lack of professionalism. He's treated Russell Wilson like a piece of meat. I got to be honest. I get it. And you guys just heard me. I went on a whole tangent. Russell Wilson has been playing great this year. I don't care what the numbers say. He has not been playing well. And I understand why the Broncos want to cut bait with him and move off of him. But Sean Payton, in his lack of professionalism and the way he's treated Russell Wilson, has been absolutely horrible. He's treated him like dog shit. And it's not good. Sean Payton berated Russell Wilson on the sideline versus Detroit. And when I first saw that video, I was like, wow, what's going on? But now, giving all of the backstory that has come out, I understand what happened now. I understand why he's berating him, but you don't do that. You don't do that. And the way how Sean Payton, from day one, from the jump, and that's why I told you guys. I told you guys back in August. I told you guys back in September. I was like, I don't think they mesh personality-wise. And Sean Payton, he didn't give Russell Wilson this money, this extension. He didn't give it to him. And let's be honest, this Broncos situation, granted, the Broncos, they're a good NFL brand. They have a really strong fan base. But this wasn't like the most ideal situation that Sean Payton could have signed up for. But how do you deny, how do you just say no to $90 million? That's what the Broncos offered Sean Payton. They gave him $9 million. I would have took the job too. But I think Sean Payton, coming into the situation premeditated, he knew that he didn't like Russell Wilson. He knew that him and Russell Wilson, from a personality standpoint and a football standpoint, they were never going to mesh. They were never going to be a good relationship, a healthy relationship. He knew it. But instead of just coming out and just like blurting it out, he was unprofessional. He treated Russell Wilson like a piece of meat. And, you know, the media asked him questions about the whole situation. And Sean Payton said, hey, it's not a financial situation. Yes, the hell it is. Bullshit. I saw the Raiders do the same thing with Derek Carr just a year ago. Like, get out of here. Like, don't piss on me and then call it rain. Same situation. The Raiders knew that there was a financial implications, and the Raiders knew if they didn't move off of Derek Carr by a certain time, they would have to owe him money, or if he get hurt, they would have to owe him money, and instead they benched him, they didn't let him play, and they called it quits. They moved on and they called it quits. And that's what the Broncos are doing. The Broncos are literally doing the same thing the Raiders did to Derek Carr last year. The Broncos are like, you're not going to get hurt. You don't want to restructure your deal. Cool. So we're going to bench you. But the way how Sean Payton has handled the situation, it's been a little unprofessional. And, you know, Russell Wilson, for a guy, he's really humble. He's not outwardly, to the media at least, he's not outwardly just braggadocious, right? Russell has handled this with a lot of humility and just a lot of class. The way how he's handled the situation, he's handled it like an adult. And with Sean Payton, like I said, I just want some type of accountability for his behavior, because his professional behavior hasn't been up to par. You don't treat your players like that. And I'm sure there's other players around the league looking at this very situation and like, you know, kind of like scratching their head, like, I wouldn't want to sign up for that. And like, granted, Russell Wilson isn't playing well. Russell Wilson isn't elite anymore, but you don't treat him like dog water. You don't treat him like meat. And that is what Sean Payton has treated him. So I'm not a fan of that. I didn't like how he handled the situation and how he went about the situation. Cool. You want to bench him? Okay. You want to protect the financials and you don't want him to get hurt. You don't want to be liable. Okay. But to treat him the way the Broncos and Sean Payton has treated him in this whole situation, I think is a little bit unprofessional. And it's just a bad ending to one of the worst trades probably in NFL history. Like, one of the worst trades in NFL history for sure, in terms of what they gave up and then actually giving him an extension. It just didn't pan out. And that's just what it is. So we're about 50 minutes into this episode, and you guys, this is something funny. So as I was recording this episode and putting this episode together, It was on December 31st, and I told you guys at the top of the episode this would be the last episode of 2023. Well, in fact, it's carry over so much. This is going to be the first episode of 2024. Now, I'm going to end the pod here. Like I said, I'm around the 50-minute mark, so I'm going to end the pod here. I will drop a part two following this episode. So this episode, I covered Lions, Cowboys, Russell Wilson, and his situation with the Broncos and Sean Payton. I'm going to drop a part two where I give you some of my thoughts on NFL Sunday and then, obviously, the college football playoff. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you have made it thus far to this point of this episode, please, 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 pretty please, I will drop a part two. Be on the lookout for part two on any DSP or any streaming app that you guys use. Part two will follow this episode. But, you know, like always do it. Always remember, two choices, one decision. Happy New Year's to everyone out there. 2024 is here, and I hope you guys enjoy the year. Bringing in the year positively. But yeah, part two will drop. Peace, deuces, I'm out.